meow in the game.
Meow, meow.
Don't hate the meow, hate the meow game. This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a basic and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit degree descent through the statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Lisa? Can you feel it, Michael WD? And the Freedom Beans is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except the government. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yes.
I did it right now. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. I'm happy. I'm impressed.
So everybody got cancer except Michael Dean.
Yeah. Because so I got news that's I was gonna wait a little while, but Jim stole my thunder there. So 10 days ago I got a biopsy, got a needle stuck in my throat for cancer tests in my thyroid, because I mentioned this last year when I was having all the medical problems that I had a polyp or a thing on my thyroid. And I don't even remember the words. I just like heard the message today. I'm like, all I heard was, you don't have cancer. I'll go through it later and dissect it. But so yeah, 10 days ago on the 16th, I got a biopsy. And it was because I'd had a CAT scan last year. They'd found this thing on my thyroid. This year they scanned it and it was a little bit bigger, tiny bit bigger. And they said, that means you have to get a biopsy. You could have cancer. So I go in, they do this procedure where they take a big gauge needle, not like a insulin needle, but bigger, you know, bigger round, and jam it in. You know, first they give you a shot of Novocaine in your throat, and then they use a ultrasound to guide this needle into your thyroid polyps or whatever they are. And then they wiggle the needle up and down like a sewing needle. It's horrid. It's they just go in and out. Yikes. Like probably 8 or 10 times. Then they hand that needle to a guy with a microscope. He looks at it, says, yep, that's a good sample. And then they do it again, second time with another needle, and give it to the microscope guy, and he says, yep, that's good, and you're done. And that is like still why my throat is kind of sore. Also because I have not slept right very much lately because of this. And then I also have bronchitis right now, so I'm not going to be on the whole show tonight. Do have a tip for anyone who's ever on the show or ever editing this show. This should be an email, but while I'm at it, if there's ever a point where like the hosts are droned for more than a few seconds and it goes to jazz music, don't edit the show. Let me do it and just send an email if that ever happens, because I don't want like 2 minutes of jazz or just 30 seconds of jazz on here. I want to fix that. All right, so they did this test jazz. And they, yeah, but I don't like it when it just interrupts the show and stays there. Kind of like you're interrupting my flow right now. Thank you. So they said I could have possibly had the answer as soon as last Monday, or last Tuesday, and I didn't have it. So like every day since last Tuesday, I haven't slept very well. And you know, anybody's got cancer. I know it's pretty common. I'm not thumbing my nose at you by saying I don't have cancer. And like actually, a couple of people that had cancer like came on the thread today and wished me well and said yay. And the I don't have cancer thread that I started, you know, while I was at a different doctor's today, got more likes on it than anything I've ever done on Facebook, which is kind of cool. I mean, not that I set out to do that. It wasn't like, I'll almost get cancer so I can get a little bit of social network karma. No, it was like, of course not. But there's 400 people have clicked like on it, something like that. 335 right now.
Wow.
So I've just been biting my nails and sleeping 4.5 hours a night since the day I could have gotten the results. And I didn't even call them every day. I wasn't that guy. I called every other day. But and then yesterday I went in for bronchitis, and then like they sent a note to, you know, I told them about this. Like, anything else? I'm like, oh yeah. And I had forgotten this by then. I was like, oh yeah, I'm waiting for cancer results. Do you have them? And they're like, no. But I'll send her a note. And she sent a note. And then like 10 a.m. this morning, I got the call. I woke up much later, but I had the message of, an extensive message of the results and you don't have cancer. Doesn't mean I won't have to have follow-ups, but, you know, this year, as somebody put it, congratulations for being in premission. Took you a minute. It's not an actual word, but it should be. We're all in permission. Cancer is so common.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Oh, I just watched the debates last night, so we all know the answer.
Well,
I don't know who won that debate, but I know who lost. Everybody who watched.
Yeah. You know, I didn't watch the debates because I'm an anarchist.
Ugh. Okay.
Real anarchist.
I watched a little bit, and I couldn't.
Well, how's this?
It.
I'm a wormarchist and real wormarchist, and I am the guy that gets to choose who's a wormarchist. So you missed the whole wormarchist thing.
All right, Janiel Schulman.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. No. Here's the thing. Like, I'm such an anarchist, I don't think I even barely knew that there were debates tonight. But you know what I was doing during the debates was watching Bloodline. An amazing show that Lisa turned
good
me on
choice.
To. You know, I wanted to say something, too. I've talked on here a bunch about my band Bomb, and I've talked especially about the drummer. You know, stop it. Stop it. Stop
doing my Trump impression.
Me.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah. But the drummer in Bomb was particularly sociopathic. And I was talking about how the guy that did our art that committed suicide by cop looks like the guy Danny in the show and kind of act like him. Mm. Tony really acted like him. Like everything, a lot of the stuff that Danny does, the sociopathy, like at one point, like his girlfriend says, Oh, I don't think he's a violent person. I've known violent men and he's not one of, and it's like, of course Danny's not violent. Danny's too smart to be violent. It would take too much effort to be violent. He lets other people do his violence. Kind of like the American voter or any voter or people who even watch debates. But if you know, next time I talk about Tony Fagg from the band Bomb and why I have him blocked and won't even answer his emails that he keeps trying to send me after I said I don't want him in my life. Picture Danny, just substitute Danny on that show for Tony Fagg on Bomb, and that's it.
What episode are you on?
Oh, 10 of season 1.
Oh, okay. All right.
The one where, let's see, okay, spoiler alert, where the DEA tries to do the drug takedown, and Danny has wiggled his way out of it while he's in custody with his brother. Or actually, he volunteered and walked into the police, the cop shop. You know that
yeah.
scene?
Yeah.
We paid the homeless guy to drive the car somewhere. Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more coming, so many twists and...
Cool. Did you like
season
2? I'm
not going to spoil anything,
though. I heard it's not as good.
Hmm?
Season 2 is good?
Season 1 is better, I think, but season 2 is great. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I think season 1 was a little bit better. I liked the way they did things kind of out of sequence in season 1. So that, to me, kind of made it more interesting, and season 2 doesn't really do that. But it's good. It wraps a lot of things up, and there are some twists that will surprise you, and some things that will happen, and you know, some characters do things that you know are kind of shocking.
It's my favorite show, man.
It's great, isn't it?
Bad's
it's
over.
Really
it might
good.
Even be better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, really, I put it up there with Breaking Bad. It's definitely in my
top
five.
Oh, I guess I can't start a meth lab now. Somebody said that. Now
I keep telling my son to watch Breaking Bad, and he's like, I don't think I'd like it. I'm like, I can't imagine anyone not liking that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or it's, Bloodline.
Yeah. I think more people could come to like Bloodline, because it's more kind of ordinary people, although I think people kind of like non-ordinary people in their escapism, like Walt becomes at some point. Hey, so you guys were talking about the debate, and I was talking about how, like, I don't even know there was a debate. Stop it.
Mm.
Somebody told me something really funny. As a Fiend fan named J.P. Brody sent me this thing about the Oxford comma. Are you guys fans of the Oxford comma?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
yes.
Really? Good.
You have to have it. Yeah.
Good. I didn't
you
know.
You don't use it, you're wrong.
I think you are, too.
That's
and,
right.
And you know what? I didn't even know there was a thing called the Oxford comma, and I've been using the Oxford comma my whole life. I remember my, like, sloppy English teacher in high school saying, like, well, you can use a last comma here before the and or not in a series. And I'm like, I tried it. I looked at it and in class at that moment said, it makes more sense with everything with the extra comma. I'm always going to use it. This is an actual thing from CNN tonight. I checked it out. Okay, this is missing the Oxford comma. Tell me if you see what's wrong with this. This was an actual headline on CNN a few hours ago. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump clashed heatedly over the economy, tax cuts for the wealthy and ISIS Monday in a fiery first exchanges of their crucial first presidential debate. Tax cuts for the wealthy and ISIS.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like, I'm going to invite my friends to the, I'm going to invite people to the party. Strippers, Stalin, and Hitler. So are you... Yeah. So I mean,
Are the strippers
Stalin and Hitler?
Yeah, there's another one. It was I don't know. I think it was an actual dedication in a book. If somebody said, "I want to dedicate this book to my parents, Ayn Rand, and God."
Oh, I was about to read that one. I love it. It's so funny.
Whereas my mama, as one of my lines in one of my band bomb songs said, My father was a black man. My mother was Jesus Christ. See, I didn't know how true that was at the time, that I was a black man. So, Jim, have you perfected the fiend handshake yet? You know about it?
Yes.
You hear that episode?
Yes. I haven't taken a picture of it yet.
You flip the bird with a pinky and then wiggle it. And if you meet another worm archist, you rub your worms together and wiggle them.
So I should probably get into my corrections of your last show where you guys were talking about alongside.
Yeah,
my,
before you do, I want to say I was gonna play a song. I'll go ahead and play it under this. I was gonna play an 8-minute song, but that's ridiculous. So I'll play
some
music.
More than most segments.
Jim Jesus tells me what's wrong. Play "It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding" by Bob Dylan, which was written 52 years ago in 1964, the year I was born. And it's as true now as it was then. My favorite line, well, I'm playing it today because it says, "Sometimes even the President of the United States must have to stand naked." And I don't want to picture that, no matter who it's going to be. But this song's great. Do you guys know this song? No. That you're not hearing right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, this one.
Yes.
It's a good song.
So the reason why the ring or the hand gesture differed on the movie alongside Night, which is a film directed by Daniel Shulman, which I hear is a great book, terrible movie. But everybody in the film was doing a different gang sign. It was saying laissez-faire. Now, I was saying, like, what's the point of this thing? Because everybody's doing it differently. How are you supposed to have a gang sign when nobody's doing it right? But the thing is, they were doing it right. It just was never explained or shown correctly, because the reason why is they were using a gold band and they were spinning the gold band. Now, some people had it on their middle finger, some people had it on their ring finger, some people did it with their hand open.
In the book, you mean?
In the movie, too. So it looked like everybody was doing it different, but they were doing the same gesture.
Nobody had a ring in the movie, though.
Yes, they did.
Well, they didn't make it obvious enough, then that's a filmmaker.
Exactly.
It doesn't read.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
CNN said, "Now I have to go say 30 Hail Spooners as a penance for giving out a link to something on CNN."
I agree with that.
Yes, sounds adequate.
So I think I'm going to spend like this segment talking about Alongside Night, and then I'm done. I've spent so much time talking about this, but
so you said I was wrong, or someone was wrong.
Yeah, so you were wrong, and we were talking about this. How at the end of the film, Alongside Night, which is a terrible movie based on a good book by Daniel Shulman, who directed the movie and wrote the book. There was a thing that was going on throughout the whole film where everybody was saying laissez-faire and then doing this weird hand gesture, and everybody was doing it differently. But it turns out at the very end, it's not explained at all through the entire film, but at the end you kind of get it. Most people do. You didn't. But that they were spinning the ring on their finger, and it's hard to tell because it's a gold band, and there's nothing on the gold band
that it was supposed to be a ring on their finger, but the filmmaking was so bad and never showed a close-up correctly Right. So it didn't read. I couldn't see any. I saw rings on a couple people, but they didn't look like they were spinning. And I didn't see rings on most of the people doing it. And
yeah, because it was a plain gold band. It was a plain gold band, and there was no like rocks on it, no writing around it, so you couldn't see that it was spinning. So that was,
you know what else
is
a big
problem.
A big like basic filmmaking error, technical error. In the early scene where Shulman, you know, the magical troll that lives over the bookstore, gives the gold money belt to the kid, mm-hmm. and the kid like holds it up, and it sort of is supposed to be shimmering, but it really isn't. I think it's actual gold, but it's not lit well. The kid's hand is shaking, and not because he's nervous, just because like his character's nervous, just because, you know, he probably had too much coffee to, you know, that morning or something. Like, it's really badly done, and that's not how you film a close-up of a hand like that, and it's not how you light it either. Like, it didn't look like gold. Gold is stunning. A piece of gold, yeah, that's, you know, like in good condition, just it catches your eye in a room. And that did not. They didn't really like make you go, ooh. And the kid's hand was shaking. There's a million little technical errors like that. Like, you know, cutaways to people that are too short. So you're like, wait, what was that? Why should I care? And I noticed that they increased as the show went on. My theory is that he ran out of money and like the editor quit and he had to finish editing himself or something. I think so. I really do.
That seems so. Now, the other thing you also said in my review that I didn't notice all of the things, but I did notice all of the things. It's just, but the problem was, and I did this in the first part of my video, was I was going through every single thing. And then I was saying, it's impossible for me to do this for the entire movie because there is multiple things wrong with every second of this film, and it would take me like light years to do. I just wanted to show this 10-minute
thing. Oh, you know what?
I go through all the errors
like a
just
day
to show.
To do. It would take me like 8 hours to do. Here's why. Because I have a lot of experience doing that with my films. Like when I'm editing, I make a 4-hour edit and then I output it and watch it and make notes on legal pads, go make all those changes, output another DVD, watch the, you know, 3.5-hour edit. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at that. I really could. Like, I was making the, I almost grabbed paper while I was watching it. It was just like, no. And then when I was done, I was like, okay, now that I've watched it, I should watch it again and grab paper and do that. And I'm like, nope. Nope. You know what I think too? A lot of people really hated that movie, other than it's really not good. Is that I think a lot of people are fans of shows that have some of those actors in them. Like, you know, Sorbo's been in some things, and like, wasn't like half the cast of Voyager, Star Trek in it?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, I think it was like two guys. It was the Asian guy and the black guy in the Revolutionary Agorist Cadre.
Yeah,
which they never abbreviated. They just kept saying Revolutionary Agorist Cadre.
Rack.
Nice
rack.
Yeah.
They could have made that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sure. Humor's not his forte, we've learned.
Yeah.
It seems as
he
though
he makes fat jokes and I didn't about himself notice, though. That's kind of like, you know, I gave him an A for that.
But the thing is he writes that he made this movie for people who enjoyed the book, and he even said so to me. And I was like, that's not how you make a movie. You make a movie for people.
And I came to that, like, without knowing that.
Yeah.
I just said that to you during the break. Like, you know, he didn't, like, I didn't get that reveal that he thinks is obvious because he's made that movie for people who've seen the movie, which he thinks is everybody. It's not.
And I didn't know it's in the book, so I was just going in this movie like you should, not knowing the source material and enjoying a piece of work.
You should be able to enjoy a movie about something you care nothing about if it's done well.
Right.
I like a good football movie, and I hate football. What did you say about the debates tonight?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, teasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
in the game.
Meow. Do you think you have the best meow in the game?
You said I have the best meow in the game.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you listened to Freedom Fiends.
You said I have the best meow. Oh, yeah. I listen to every show.
You and Steve.
Without exception.
Thank you for your service. I just did bad audio, by the way. I moved the mic. Hey, you said I had bad audio for eating crackers. No, it was good audio of bad life choices. Don't you make a meme of the guy?
That was Bipcot Travis. Travis. Yeah.
Cool, man. So,
it was funny though.
Janiel Schulman's movie was financed by your friend and mine, Austin Peterson, calling people up and saying, "How would you like to pay for product placement in this wonderful movie?" And I think if they ever do a sequel, and a friend of mine who owns a company, Precious Metals Company, said that he got that call and he'd never seen the movie, he'd never read the book, he didn't know anything about Schulman, but he went and looked at on YouTube at a video of Schulman giving a speech and thought, and called him, was like, "Nah, thanks, man, I'm not gonna do it." And he's never regretted the decision. But I said that I told him that if there's ever a sequel, they might have better luck if Austin Peterson called people and asked how much they'll donate, how much they'll pay to not have their name and product placement in the company, for the company in the film.
Yeah, I'm sure antiwar.com would have done that. Yeah. Like, "Dad, don't put our sticker on your nuclear warhead, please. How much would you want?" Yeah.
I know. So I think that could work. Yeah. Oh, you know what else is funny about that movie? Did you notice who the distributor is?
No, who is the distributor? And why should I care?
It's a company called Distributor. Distributor. That sounds like an app. It's like distributor with some vowels missing.
Oh, like Twitter used to be?
Yeah. I looked them up, but they're basically people that, like, if you pay them, they'll get your movie on Amazon, and that's it. Mm. And, you know, a couple other. They'll try to get it on Netflix, but they didn't. So,
That would be great. Like, I've been tempted, and people have also been tempted to buy a copy for a there's a YouTube company, but they also make actual films too, called Red Letter Media, and they have like this series on YouTube where they do nothing but they review terrible movies that people send them, and so people have been like offering, like, maybe we should send it in and they could, you know, do a funny review of it.
It should be on Mystery Science Theater 3000. Was that the name of the thing where people watched it and laughed and ate popcorn?
Well, we were going to do something like that at Porkfest before I decided not to go for
reasons. Oh, man.
And you told me that was a bad idea.
I was giving my wife director's commentary of the movie while we were watching it. I'm not the director, but I'm a director, and I was making comments throughout the whole movie. So maybe we should, I don't know. I don't want to bootleg the guy. His head would explode. But it would be kind of fun, to make a bootleg of it that's a DVD where there's a burnt-in director's commentary track. It's like the three of us and all the fiends sitting around commenting on it. So,
here's the thing: what you can do is you can record an audio track and then release it or sell that audio track, because there's the people that do Mystery Science Theater, they sell commentary tracks for movies, and
just
play the movie
at the same time as the movie.
Yeah, and so
like Alice in Wonderland and Dark Side of the Moon.
So we could do that, but then people who have Amazon Prime who can get the movie could watch it.
Yeah,
because it's all there.
The problem with doing that is syncing things up. Even like, it doesn't have to be exact because it's commentary. It can be within a half second either way. But different devices and different playbacks with different sample rates, it's really hard to like make a 2-hour MP3 that'll sync on one device with a 2-hour movie on another device, or even on the same device. But it'd be fun to try. But
I got better things to do. Working great.
Like work on this new movie that started as a joke but might actually turn into a movie.
Yes.
Called All the Freedom Fiends Hanging Out, All the Freedom Fiends in Line at the DMV, which started as a joke because somebody said, like, there was this email thread going back and forth of the fiends, like we do. We have our secret, you know, gulch meetings. What did Ben Stone and I used to call them?
We have a secret handshake.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Ben Stone and Davi and I used to have these like podcasts we never recorded. Like, we would talk over Skype at the time before Fiend Phone for like 2 hours. And at the end, we'd be like, "God, we should have recorded this because it was great." But we called Bavarian Gulch is what we called it, instead of Gulch, or Bavarian like valley or hole or something. So
I like Bavarian cream.
Bavarian cream pie. I'll give you one, baby. Yeah. So somebody made a joke about, it was either you or Jeremy or Steve, one of the three of you said something like, you know, God, you spent $800,000 on this movie. Somebody could make a better movie for $80. And I said, well, I actually did make a better movie for $120, and it actually made a few thousand dollars profit, which makes it a smashing success compared to Alongside Night, which I can't prove it hasn't made its budget back, but I can just prove to you by talking that it hasn't made its budget back, because it's only ever shown in a few theaters, you know, didn't make any money in theaters. And it basically, the only income I can see from it is probably DVDs Shulman sold out of his trunk and, you know, plays on Amazon of people renting it for the night to laugh at it. So there's no way it's made $800,000, man. But so much.
I think I made it a couple thousand dollars by telling people to go watch how bad it is.
I made it a couple hundred at least. So you know, somebody made a joke about, like, you know, I could release a movie of myself standing in line at the DMV and it'd be more interesting. And I said, what if we made a scripted movie of all of the fiends standing in a line at the DMV and talking about it and complaining about the state? People said that could be pretty funny, and I joked about starting a Kickstarter to raise money for it, but nah, I don't know. We'll see. It could be green screen. We wouldn't have to actually even fly to the same place.
I think it would be better if we all flew to the same place and just hung out for a couple days.
Well, it would be, you know, maybe we could raise the money to all... You guys could all come here and not stay at my house for a week.
just send a bill to everybody, or just have everybody send you a bill, you know, with no date attached to it, and then just say, okay, add it all up and say, this is how much it's going to cost to make the movie, because this is how much everybody's saying I owe them if I come.
I think we should do it the way the government does it. I think we should make the movie and then bill everybody for it. Mm-hmm. Who did, like, everybody, the world, everyone in America.
Everyone it's free. Oh, everyone in America.
So I guess talk about the debates. I'm done. I'm gonna, this will be my last segment, but just go ahead so I can just barf on you guys while you're talking. I'm gonna watch some best of tomorrow, but tell me what I missed by being intelligent.
I think watching the entire thing, it would be a lot better than watching any, because I don't think there was any real moments that made it good worth watching, because it was entertaining. And about the first 30 minutes, it was not. The latter half is the reason why it started getting really good. It's because Donald Trump has been trying to pivot into this. I am presidential. I can have a good temperament. I'm a really, you know, I'm a really calm and collected guy. I can keep my S together for a while. But then 30 minutes of Clinton baiting him is all it took.
Baiting.
He fell, after that, he fell for every single one of her baits. Like,
I like baiting.
Yeah, she baited him. Well, she knows how to bait him, and it worked 100% of the time.
You can't say that on radio.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh.
I'm kidding. He's a master. She is a really? Master guys, at baiting.
Like, really?
Oh, God.
You're actually going to have a discussion about the debates and, like, get so serious you don't get a joke that's so blatant, you know, Bobby
I got
Hill
it.
Would make it. All right,
I got it.
Lisa.
It took
Lisa's
me a
still
second.
Looking at the hanky code. On
I'm rocking.
What's the hanky code
today?
For wanting to be baited?
There probably is one.
A tissue.
Refer to the
a tissue.
A tissue. So
art.
Yeah. So anyway, sniff into go it. On. Go ahead.
Which was kind of funny because they're always, like, attacking Clinton for her health, and then the person who shows up sick was Trump.
The irony.
Sniffing the whole time.
Hey, I'm gonna let you guys go. I got bronchitis. Speaking of sniffing, so I'm gonna lose all my right. voice for a moment.
Feel better.
Have a good show. Take care.
Worms.
Maybe he's doppelganger as Donald Trump during the dish.
Here I am coughing. Maybe mine is Hillary. I don't know.
He started taking my Trump impressions and started going, I could do that. How does the debate smell? The debate stage. Frankly. But he fell for every single one of her little snarks and barbs, and he was kept interrupting her and cutting her off and trying to inject, like, no, I didn't. Nope, that's a lie. Nope, frankly, she's lying. Okay. Look, she's lying. Okay. And it was because of that whole drama of the whole thing, all of it together was what made it gold for me, at least. I don't know about you.
Well, I didn't watch much of it. I slept until about 9:40, and I woke up and was like, oh, no. So I turned it on and didn't have... I don't even know what they were talking about when I turned it on, but Hillary was pandering to black mm-hmm. folks, and I was just, like, gagging, and I don't know. I just, at this point, you know, I see through it all so much that I feel like there's just no point in watching. I tried, I really did. I tried to listen, and then I found myself on Twitter reading tweets from Sweet Meteor O Death instead.
Oh, that was gold.
Oh, yeah. It was much more entertaining. But Hillary, I was kind of surprised she was able to stand up for the whole debate and that she didn't collapse or have people holding her up, because she has just looked very frail lately. I mean, people are going to hate me for saying
she's
that.
She's had pneumonia. Well, what was it originally? She was dehydrated. I mean, pneumonia. Yeah. Because that's not pneumonia. What you do when you're dehydrated.
Right.
Well, originally, it was dehydration, but then people were going like, that's not what you do when you're dehydrated. Especially, like, there were some MMA fighters that were even talking about, like, I know what dehydration is because that's what we do when we're trying to make weight classes.
Yeah.
That's not what happens. Like, no. I experience this all the time.
No, I definitely, I think, and man, people have gotten really mad at me for this, but I think there's something neurological going on with her. But the pneumonia, I've had that. I had it in both lungs a few years ago, and I couldn't even get out of bed. So I'm just not buying that story. And then she hugged that little girl, which was completely staged. But I'm thinking with viral bacterial pneumonia, you know, I guess she had bacterial because they said she was on antibiotics. So if that's true, even then, after only a day or so, I don't know. You just wouldn't want to expose a little kid to that, would be my thinking. But I don't know. She just makes me sick completely.
But there was two good articles that came out of the Onion family. You had one. I cannot find it.
I'll talk
about mine. Okay, so I'll pull mine up since I have it right here.
Do you want me to read this?
Yeah, I'm going to read mine because it's short, because it's Clickhole. And Clickhole is kind of like a fake troll-baity thing. Oh, no, it's real. Okay. Totally real. So major third-party victory for Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. They have been selected as podiums for tonight's debate. And it shows them holding up the little microphones for Trump. They got... Let Gary be podium.
Gary got to be the podium. Aw. Poor Gary.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
With Gary Johnson. What is the level?
This is the most disturbing thing that I've seen. I mean, can you imagine if he'd participated in the debate and pulled that? I don't know. I'm starting to think that he's some kind of plant, because the Aleppo thing, and then when he was interviewed after the New York City and Minnesota, the bombings, and he said, well, first of all, we're just grateful that nobody got hurt. And then the tongue wagging, I don't even know what to call that, but I just, seriously?
it just keeps, the train wreck just keeps getting worse and worse.
It does. Like, is this real?
And the sad thing is, he's probably the most qualified candidate by every measurable standard. And this is...
Right, but so anyways, you know, and it's kind of sad because those little gaffes that he keeps having are making people think like, this guy's a goofball. Like, he needs to lay off the pots, you know. And and I'm thinking, but at least he's not a warmonger. And he's not a psychopath, I don't think, but oh well.
Yeah, he really does feel that stereotype that libertarians are Republicans who smoke weed.
Yeah, he really does, because my dad leans very libertarian, and he's like, Lisa, this guy is a clown. And I'm like, it's not my fault. Don't talk to me about it. I'm not voting.
But speaking of Gary Johnson, I didn't mention them in this article that you have from wonderful news source, The Onion.
The Onion.
Wonderful. Probably the best accurate news source ever.
The most honest news site out there. Yeah. Okay, the article is called Poll. 89% of debate viewers tuning in solely to see whether the roof collapses. Hempstead, New York. Oh, I wish it had. Explaining that the American people showed relatively little interest in learning more about the nominee's economic, counterterrorism, or immigration policies, a new poll found that 89% of viewers were tuning into the debate on Monday solely to see whether the roof collapses on the two candidates.
It was so close. I think I saw some shaking.
Of 2,000 individuals surveyed, we found that nearly 9 in 10 said they would be watching tonight's debate on the off chance that they might get to witness the roof of Hofstra University's hall, Hagedorn? I don't even know what that's called. Hall suddenly cave in and crush the nominees for president. Adding that the majority of the poll's respondents expressed interest in how the candidates would respond to the entire overhead lighting grid or large chunks of the ceiling falling directly on top of them. Our data also showed that over half of those surveyed wanted to hear what the Democratic and Republican nominees would scream if the floor of the debate stage suddenly splintered apart beneath their feet due to a massive earthquake directly below the building that swallowed both of them into the bowels of the earth. And here's my favorite part. Researchers noted that near roughly one-third of survey respondents expressed displeasure with the debate format, saying that Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson should have been allowed on stage to be squashed alongside the major party choices.
And the question is, would he have screamed with his tongue out? But at least no one would have gotten hurt.
I was just going to say, no, at least no one would have gotten hurt.
But I love this article, too. Viewers impressed by how male Trump looked during the debate, saying that the Republican nominee exhibited just the qualities they were looking for in the country's next leader. Viewers throughout the nation reported Monday night that they were impressed by how male Donald Trump appeared throughout the first debate. The way he carried himself up there on the debate stage, Trump definitely came off very male tonight. And of course, he's got a picture of him holding his big hands up, right?
His big hands. Oh no.
He conducted himself in a very extremely male manner all night long, regardless of the topic he was discussing. And that definitely resonated with me. I can easily see him being male for the next 4 years. Viewers admitted that while Hillary Clinton seemed intelligent and capable throughout the debate, she failed to project the suitable male demeanor necessary to hold the Oval Office.
You know, in one part of the debate, I heard Trump say to her that she doesn't have the look. And I was like, oh no, like, I just facepalm. Where is he going with this? This is not going to go over well.
And
I don't know
not.
What he meant by that. He kind of failed to explain what he meant when questioned about it. And I thought, oh no. I mean, you know, it's not like I didn't expect him to completely goof up and put a spit in his mouth, but that was classic.
He did it. He did many times. More fiends when we get back. And now.
Worm.
That's a really hard word to say.
It is hard.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. and bipcot.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
On the game, Freedom Fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone
Lisa
except governments.
Lisa is a mess.
Okay. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Hey, I tried.
All right. So lots of.
I think
good
I read it
here.
Better than I do when I'm not trying to do it fast.
Yeah, it actually came out good.
Yeah.
It came out good. I just had to throw a Trump. I should have sniffled. It would have been better.
Lisa's the worst person. She's the worst person. We need
I'm
to build a wall
jiggling.
And keep her out. Oh,
I'm hearing Mike jiggling.
I'm sorry, that was me. I admit it.
This is a teaching hospice.
It is a I'm a fidgeter. I admit it. I fidget. I do. Sometimes
yeah,
you don't
I'm basic. I have taken the mantle of Michael W. Dean's audio Nazi status. So
okay, I'll be still.
So there was a funny article which ended up getting renamed, unfortunately, by The Hill. But I think before I can even talk about this, I have to explain kind of there's like a meme, a libertarian meme called Hans Hermann Hoppe Physical Removal Service. Sobrital Removal Service is what we call our drink night because it's funny. But it's a Hans Hermann Hoppe Physical Removal Service because he wrote a book where he said that communists and Democrats need to be physically, and he's talking about anybody who supports democracy, should be physically removed in order to keep a libertarian society going. And it kind of turned into a meme, and so everybody talks about physically removing communists.
Yeah.
And and The Hill, not knowing about this meme, which it looks like they do now, was talking about a news article that came about because Jill Stein had been removed off of the debate premises. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but third-party candidates are not even allowed to be on the site at all during a debate. And a news reporter found her and was interviewing her, and then they removed her. Now, the original article from The Hill said... I don't have the original article now, though I could pull it up. But the title of it said that Jill Stein, or police physically removed Jill Stein from the debate premises. And then shortly afterwards, they renamed it to Green Party nominee escorted off debate premises. I think because people were sharing it and commenting on it, saying, haha, physical removal. Hans Hermann Hoppe is now the police chief.
Throw her out of a helicopter. Great. Oh, yeah, you could go on the Wayback Machine, I guess, and find the one with the original title.
I think it was, maybe you can.
Maybe. I'm going to try. That's funny.
Yeah, but it was great. So that was a news story that was floating around Facebook for a while, but then when you click it, they changed the title of the article.
That's
and the URL to the article, too. So
someone notified them. No, you got to change that. That's great.
There's fascists who like that joke, too. We can't have that.
Yeah. So why aren't third-party candidates allowed on the premises during a debate? I didn't know that.
I didn't have a chance to really read the article in depth. I just noticed that, that it is. From what I understand... I think it may have stemmed from when Michael Badnarik, who was running for the Libertarian ticket back in, 2004?
I think it was 2004. I voted for him in 2004. Mm-hmm.
And David Cobb was the Green Party candidate, and they kind of teamed up together and went down there and was causing a fuss. And I think that was kind of like, okay, after this, no more. And I think they got arrested as well.
Wow.
But I believe that's where it came from. It may have predated that. I'm not exactly sure, but I remember that happening, and so I can kind of think like, okay, maybe it started there. Don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
I guess they also arrested her in 2012 when Barack Obama was debating Mitt Romney.
So that's, and she ultimately spent 8 hours handcuffed to a chair during the October 2016-20 event. Yeah, also occurred at the same university where she was the Green Party's presidential nominee. So
that's harsh. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you know, in order to keep a libertarian society going, you have to physically become some Democrats.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
And in the 2004, that's when, about the time I was already out of the Green Party and I was a Democrat. That didn't last very long. I ended up becoming a libertarian the next year. Yeah, so I kind of know what the Green Party is about, and I left because even as a very far leftist as I was back then, they were insane how far left they were. And I used to joke around thinking it was clever. Like, oh, if I was any more of the left, I'd be a socialist. And I thought that was funny and cute and clever, and that made me better than everybody else. And now I'm looking back on it like, ugh, I used to be like that. And even still, they were too far to the left for me. They want, like, affirmative action, like the almost the straw position that it is now. They actually want, like, if you have two candidates and one's clearly a minority, and it doesn't matter if there are more qualified, or if they even have any qualifications at all, you have to hire the minority because reasons. Slavery. Because it's the current year. Yeah. They also want to, like, completely abandon oil or fossil fuels, which sounds great until you realize, like, oh, that would just completely shut down the economy overnight.
Right. Not a good idea. Those consequences.
Yeah, they're also very anti-science as far as, like, they don't want any nuclear technology. They don't want GMOs. They don't want, what was the other thing? There was another thing that they were against. I can't remember. But, like, if you go through their platform, it's like, man, these guys are just one thing after another. Like, This is even too far left for even Bernie supporters. And that's why Bernie Sanders was never green. So, even he's like,
wait a minute. Yeah, this is too much. Yeah. Is the Green Party, are they big supporters of the EPA, or do they think the EPA doesn't do enough? What's their stance on that?
Yeah, clearly it doesn't do enough. It needs more funding, clearly.
Oh, gosh.
You know, more money just horrible. Magically fixes all the problems with government. If you just throw more money at it. I mean, look at it. It's worked for education, right? The more money we throw in schools, the worse they get. I mean, better or no. I think it's just because they need even more money, you know, so it can squander more of that, too. So
yeah, that makes sense. Right. Yeah, my dad was an environmental engineer, and he said the EPA is, like, absolutely the worst agency to deal with. And he's talked about the Green Party and how they're kind of environment, like, kind of, he calls them kind of terrorists, how extreme they are. About the environment, about their ideas and what they want to do. And so I kind of always was a libertarian before I even knew what it meant. So,
I guess
I have that going for me.
She had stated in an interview that Wi-Fi causes cancer.
What? Isn't she a doctor? Doesn't she know better than that?
Yeah, and it's like, and cell phones too. And it's like, no, if you actually know what the radiations that are put out by those things, it's. The short version of it, the short simplified version of it, is that the wave is too big to knock off atoms that would cause cells to mutate into cancer.
Yeah, life causes cancer, so
yeah.
There's that.
And yeah, so the waves are too big. That's all you need to know. They don't cause cancer because the waves are too big. And that's why all those little gold things that people used to put on their phones, no one buys them anymore.
I remember garbage. Those.
Yeah.
Forgot all about them until now.
Yeah, because they don't do anything. Neither does the radiation.
I imagine if they worked, that would have taken off, you know, and everybody would have them.
Yeah. There's different types of radiation.
I don't worry about
it. Different radiations do different things, yeah. And the radiation that comes off your cell phone, the microwaves that come off of that are harmless. Mostly harmless. You know, everything causes cancer. Everything.
Right, everything.
Even pure air that doesn't have any, toxins in it, whatever that word means anymore, can still cause cancer.
Yeah, that word is kind of, it's diminished now. People call everything a toxin, and I just roll my eyes. And my background is in health sciences, so I'm like, can you stop throwing that word around, because it doesn't mean what you think it means. Not everything is not toxic. That's an extreme stance toxic. Everything is toxic. Like people, yeah. You know what I mean.
It flushes all the toxins and every, yeah, I love the whole, like, it gets rid of toxins. It's like, can you define toxins? Nope.
Yeah, define that. And then people talk about doing these cleanses, you know, like, oh, you need to cleanse your body of toxins. And I'm like, that's what your liver and your kidneys do. Your body has a system in place to eliminate toxins.
It's called your liver. Okay, I already have humans. One. Did you need another one? Is yours busted? Is that why you need is that why you need to get your colon cleansed? Because you're you have liver failure. I don't think a colon cleanse will do that for you. But
I just read a book. Speaking of that, oh, this could get so gross. I'll control myself. But it's called Gulp. Do you happen to know who Mary Roach is? She's a writer, and she writes mostly.
Maybe it's really good. It's just coming books. Down to the very, very last bit of it, right?
Roach. Yes, you would like. Yeah, you would probably really like her humor. She's very funny, but she can take the most disgusting, boring topic and make it fun to read about. And so she has a book called Stiff, and it's about cadavers, about like the history of medical use of cadavers and grave robbing and all these things people have done with bodies over the centuries. And so then she has another book called Gulp that I recently read, and it's about the alimentary canal. And so she talks about the colon cleansing and how Elvis died. And
on the pot. He was on the pot. Yeah, remember, kids, yeah, stay much. Off the pot.
Avoid the opiates. Yeah. Spooky stuff, but she's quite funny. I'll stop now because it can really gross people out. And she's pretty. She's.
Maybe we should have her on the show to explain how well she writes about gross things, so that way we.
It would be fun to have her on the show. She's my
so.
Favorite.
I guess she's
I'd be
also
all fangirl.
Yeah, I guess she's also extremely against all forms of vaccines and promotes people like Joseph Mercola, who I won't say is a fraud because I don't want to get sued, but I'll leave it there. And he keeps getting warned by the FDA for making wild health claims that are provably false.
Oh, he does? Yeah. I don't keep up with all this. I kind of take all of the all of those people with a grain of salt. I like to do my own research when it comes to nutrition. I'll look for studies and see what I can find because, there have been cases where major universities have gotten paid off. Like there was recently the revelation that the sugar industry paid Harvard scientists to say sugar wasn't that bad for you.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody.
Trust no one.
Except Cthulhu. We'll get to that.
Hashtag join the cult.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
So tell me about your sensory deprivation chamber.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's this new product called La 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 La. Are you getting election fatigue from being inundated with Bren circuses everywhere you look and fear that you won't make it to November sane? Well, look no further. Represent Us has a near sensory deprivation helmet-based solution to all your brain-preserving needs. It's called La 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 La. It engulfs your head in soundproof Kevlar, preventing all visual and aural aggravations caused by electoral dysfunction. So they have this fantastic video demonstration of this helmet, and I think I want one. I wish it was a real product.
But does it cause you to trip like any other sensory deprivation chamber thing?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it engulfs your head in a big bubble, so...
Yeah, because that's the trend with kids these days. So they're all about, what is it called, floating? Where they go and they pay, they pay big money to go into this room that's completely quiet, and in the room there's a chamber, and you hop inside, and there's salt water, like a really briny water, and that it makes you really buoyant, so you float, and the room is also completely dark, and it's completely silent, soundproof.
Yeah.
And you sit and you float in it, and then as you're floating, the more you float in there, the kind of more your brain kind of wanders because there's no sensory input. So your brain starts to make sensory inputs, and people report scary like these. Thought. Yeah, that you're basically almost on like a hallucinogenic drugs almost, but it's completely natural and your brain does it yourself, and you're not putting anything in your body that's harmful. And people say, you know, they have positive things to say about it and a lot of good results from it, but I heard that there's a simpler way of doing it and a cheaper way of doing it instead of paying money to and having all this equipment, where you can just do it with a piece of paper, some soft lighting, and some earbuds. And there's a YouTube channel called the Rogue, I think it's called the Rogue, or the Modern Rogue, and you know who Brian Brushwood is, right?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay. So it's his new thing. It's a great channel, by the way. It also tells you how to get like cheap Taco Bell. How to make your Taco Bell cheaper using the app. But either way, so he's got like, all these kind that. Of like, yeah, weird stuff. And one of the things in there was how to make your own sensory deprivation thing. And they put lights above them. They put a piece of paper over their eyes, which made it completely, one solid white color, bright white. Light, so you're not actually looking at a light, you're actually looking at just the light itself, and then putting in headphones that are playing white noise or pink noise, whatever you want to do, I guess. And because of that, you're there's no real inputs going in, and after a while you start tripping, and they actually showed them doing it. And they said about 30 minutes in they started tripping and having all these kind of glowing experiences coming out of it. So
I'll try that. I have a white noise machine.
Well, I'm sure there's an app for it. There's an app for everything.
Oh, yeah, there's an app for everything. I mean, I have one on my nightstand. I don't use it that much anymore, but I did back when I had those crazy neighbors who were really loud and I couldn't sleep. So I'd rather listen to a thunderstorm or white noise or bubbling brooks or whatever instead of them. They're gone now, so.
Well, I do have to plug my favorite movie that's on Amazon, which isn't. Not Alongside Night.
It's not Alongside Night, is it? Okay.
No, it's called Box Fan, and it's got glowing reviews, and you can watch it free on Amazon Prime. It's 2 hours of a box fan turning, and people use that as kind of a pink noise. They think it's white noise, but apparently I've been corrected by Michael W. Dean that it's actually pink noise generated that kind of helps people sleep. So
I've never heard of pink noise. So what's the difference between pink noise and white noise?
I should know since I'm talking about it on the video and I'm 40.
It's okay. Sorry.
And I do know, I'm just not going to tell you. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. So I have to Google. Yeah. I see. All right. Yeah. Noted. Hopefully I'll remember to do that. Probably won't, but.
You people don't know the difference between pink and white noise.
I know. Shame on me. I'm so embarrassed. Yeah. It's such a slacker. I don't know what I've been doing with my life. Terrible.
So have you done these sensory the sensory deprivation chambers?
No.
Have you floated? No.
I have not floated, no, but I have a lot of experience with hypnosis. So it's kind of similar, I think. Sort of.
Is it?
Maybe.
So
maybe.
You've been hypnotized?
Oh, yeah. I used to be a hypnotist. Uh-huh. You can tease me.
You weren't
me,
one of those ones that were like, you weren't one of those crank ones where they're like, oh, I can make you lose weight and quit smoking instantly.
I did use it in a weight loss practice when I was a personal trainer, and they had me do it at a YMCA for members. It can help sometimes. You have to want to change. There's a whole joke about that, I'll tell you when we come back.
Warmth. Gary Johnson jokes will never get right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
So now you're going to be addicted to the Brian Brushwood channel.
Yeah, this looks really interesting. I've got to know how to hack the Taco Bell menu and how to flip open a butterfly knife like a gentleman word I can't say on the radio. This looks like good stuff. This will keep me busy.
Well, I don't think it is a bad word. Maybe the board op can whisper it in my ear. The word for someone who was born without a father, a bad word. Can I say that on the radio? But so I know how to do some butterfly stuff, but this also kind of teaches you a few other things as well.
Seven
awful pranks only Satan would play, and they have like this they have some stinky stuff and some yellow number 5 food coloring that doesn't taste like anything, but you can put in people's drinks and it makes their mouth turn yellow.
Fun. Yeah, party tricks. Okay. Yeah. I see the thumbnails of the different episodes, and one of them he's just wearing a white suit like he's working in some kind of lab, and it says prank kit. What's that about?
Yeah, these are like horrible like chemicals. Some of them like stink really bad. Some of them stain really bad. There was one where it's like a powder. I think it's clear or white powder. And the instant any kind of water gets on it, it just spreads and permanently stains everything purple. And people would sprinkle it on someone's desk, and you know their desk would be dry for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And you know they could be out on a trip or whatever, and they'll spill coffee, and then it just acts like a domino, and it just keeps getting worse and worse because the moisture just kind of keeps collecting on it and spreads and stains things out elsewhere.
Where's this been all my life, huh?
I know.
I got stuff to learn about here.
They have a chemical that emulates the smell of diarrhea. They show him spraying it across his chest. Yeah.
They don't teach you this in school.
Yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of Brian Brushwood's like Scam School. When he was doing Scam School, I did a YouTube fecal matter, I think that's the right word to say on air.
This is a theme tonight. Like,
yeah, when you kind of we talked about the debates, then we talked about you know
Elvis's colon a little bit,
and now we're on this, which is kind of like a mashup
this
of
is
YouTube.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a mashup of YouTube videos, and it's edited to a way where it's just so absurd that you can't help but laugh at it. And I made one about Scam School. But I originally found this guy because he did a lecture on scams, frauds, and other stuff. And I was kind of interested about the three-card Monty. And he also did like a video about how to do the three-card Monty scam. And that's when he used to have the big spiky hair, like Liberty spikes coming out of his head, which he doesn't do anymore.
Yeah. He toned it down a little.
Yeah, I gotta love the three-card Monty scam.
I'll waste hours on this site. Yeah. I don't know about that. What is that?
Okay, so the three card Monte, yeah, well, it's a scam, but it's presented as a game where you follow the Red Queen, find the Red Queen, you know what I mean? There she is. Now where'd she go? You know, that sort of thing. And they put three cards down, and they're kind of bent so you can kind of, you know, so they can pick them up and move them around. And they show you all three cards, and then they throw them down, and then they mix them around. And you say, okay, which one is it? And of course, it's the one in the middle. Oh, of course, it's that one. I was following it the whole time. So you show up at the game, and there's a, you know, a guy throwing around cards, and there's another person who's there, and he's losing. And you're like, oh, come on, it's right there. It's the middle one. Why do you keep choosing the other one? And the point is, so you go, okay, I'm going to play. And then you play, and then you're like, oh, actually, no, it is a little bit harder than I thought. No, I'll get the next one. And the scam is, the guy who was playing originally is a mark. He's part of the scam. He's in on it. He knows, he's following the card so he knows which one not to choose. And then he chooses the wrong one. So it seems like an easy game. And then when you come up and play it, they start doing a trick, which is, well, it looks like they're throwing one card down, but they're actually throwing down the other. So they show you the three cards. There's, you know, the two black cards and the one red card, or the queen. And then you throw down, looks like you're throwing down the queen, but you're actually throwing down the black card. And then you mix them up, so you're following the wrong card. And if you happen to just accidentally see the scam and choose the right card, then the mark will come down and say, no, I'm going to put more money down on this. I'm sorry, sir, but that's, you know, I'm going to go with the larger bet, and then flip it over. And, oh, yep, you were wrong. Sorry, I'll take your money.
Oh, wow.
And even if you don't play and you just watch it, people will pickpocket you. This thing is probably, all around, it's probably one of the most masterful scams ever. Like, you just stay away whenever you see the three-card Monty.
Okay, that's a good warning. I will heed that. Yeah. Thank you for telling me. I had no idea, and I would totally fall for that too. I'm not saying I would put money in or whatever, but I'd be like, wow, that's really cool.
And there actually, I think there actually is a scam school episode where he's actually showing you how you can do the throw.
so you can do even it better yourself. Yeah. All right, no, I'll remember this.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So he's got the two shows. He's got the Modern Rogue, and the Modern Rogue is not like scams or tricks you can do at the bar, or cool things you can do at the bar to, you know, to kind of get money or to meet people, which is mostly kind of what you're doing. Like, oh, check this out. I can blow smoke. You know, I can put smoke from a match in my mouth and breathe it out. Which I love that trick, the human chimney.
Oh yeah.
Look that one up. That's a neat one. But, you know, there's also other ones, you know, like the pranks and the sensory deprivation one. How to make disposable cameras into tasers, which I think I know where that's going. Did you ever do this?
I'm definitely going to watch that one. No.
So there's this, if you did disposable cameras with a flash, there's a transistor in there.
And it's going with
a bunch of energy. When you power, on those flash things, you hold it down and it goes like beep. You know, it lets you know that the flash is charged.
Right.
But if you take off the front of the camera, there's a certain part on it that you can touch it, and all that charge goes through, and you can electrocute people. So it used to be a thing in our high school where people would come up to people while they were talking with their friends or whatever and just shock them with...
Just zap them?
Yeah. And that's what you did. You wind the camera up, get all the film out so it's safe, and you can use it, you know, if you have it developed. But then you're left with this basically... you know, mild stun gun that you can beat people with. And it's so evil and wrong.
I was going to say, how strong is it?
I never did it.
You're right.
Oh, it'll give you a good shock. Like, some expletives will definitely come out of your mouth if you get shocked by it. It's no fun.
I'll be searching YouTube for videos of that later.
Yeah.
When I have insomnia.
You're
going to
come up with all of these evil tricks.
Something
for
to entertain
friends.
Me. I know. I may actually need to have a social life and leave the house so I can, you know, play some pranks on people. Mm-hmm. Look what you've done. It's your fault. You're creating a monster.
Yeah, so now you can learn how to eat glass light bulbs and taste tripping.
Stop there. I'm interested in the hallucinating without drugs, but... I don't want to eat a light bulb. Mm. I'll pass, or eat fire, or necessarily tase people. Although that might come in useful.
Yeah. Have you done taste tripping yet? Have you heard about this taste tripping?
No.
Where you put, there's a fruit called the miracle fruit, and you put it on your tongue, and it attaches proteins to your taste buds, and it makes sour things taste sweet, for the most part. Well, it does. But it also makes other flavors taste like other things as well. So you could, you'll see people eating just raw lemons with no sugar on them, just eating lemons like, oh, it's so sweet and delicious. And I've actually done the flavor tripping thing, and it's a whole lot of fun. Where you just, you're sipping vinegar, you're tasting beer, you're eating limes and lemons and all kinds of sour stuff.
That could be
and
useful.
It tricks your tongue.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying like, it tricks you into thinking that things are sweet when they're not. I think bitters work too.
I was going to ask about that. Like, if you could use that to get yourself to, or get your kids or whatever to eat things that might be bitter or sour that you want to trick them, huh? So how long does the effect last after you?
I think for a couple hours or something like that. But it's a whole lot of fun to have like flavor tripping parties. And that's what I went to. They had like this big party. Like, okay, everybody come in. We're gonna flavor trip, and you bring sour stuff with you. So you know, people are bringing lemons and limes and all kinds of stuff they would normally never eat.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I don't like sour food, so that would be a trippy experiment for me to try. Well,
then you're wrong.
I know. I'm wrong about everything. Yeah. I'm used to hearing that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it does not work for the flavor of Trump or Clinton. The flavor tripping does not make those two candidates any more appealing.
I don't think anything could. You could roll them in sugar and Nutella, and it'd still be awful.
Yeah, or stab both of them, but no one will get hurt. No, wait.
They really should do the debates more like celebrity death match, like political death match, or like have knife fights or something. Like, they just really need to step up the game, because you know they're both thinking about it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just let them do it.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. That was a pretty rough debate.
Yeah, you know whose commentary is the best, though? I follow Cthulhu for America and Sweet Meteor of Death on Twitter, and they have the most honest commentary about the election and the debates. Cthulhu released a statement on the presidential, in quotes, debate.
What was that?
Tonight it was clear that neither major party has a candidate with the strength, knowledge, or values to be president of the United States. But both were eager to become mired in petty disputes, ignoring the problems of real Americans. Choosing the lesser evil year after year brought us to this point. Voting for the greatest evil will get you out of it and into oblivion. And Cthulhu said that the debates were just temper tantrums. That's all they are, aren't they? I mean, I think that's a very apt evaluation.
It said nothing about the choke, the sniffing, or the interruptions, or about Rosie O'Donnell. I can't believe we're talking about Rosie O'Donnell again.
When I saw a quote about that, I didn't hear that part of the debate. What did he say?
So she was saying some of the things that Donald Trump have said about women, and he mentioned that one of them was Rosie O'Donnell, and frankly, we were all thinking the same thing, okay? She's a terrible person, okay? Like, I don't even know why we're talking about her. She's absolutely terrible. But frankly, if when I become president, okay, we're gonna sew her mouth shut so she can't eat anymore, okay?
Or speak. So did he actually bring her up by name?
Yes. She is now relevant for another 5 minutes.
Ah, no.
And redemption when we get back.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to The Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Best meow in the game. I'm never going to stop bragging.
Sorry.
So now we have some sweet, sweet redemption of death.
Yeah, right? We do. Yeah, Sweet Meteor of Death tweeted about the debate and had some interesting comments. Hello, 911. I'm watching the debates and I have alcohol poisoning. Operator, get in line, buddy.
Thank you to all of my supporters on the divisive debate victory tonight. Human and civilization will soon be exterminated. Hashtag debate night.
I will eliminate 100% of the U.S. national debt. Fantastic.
No need to watch this. This is someone that he retweeted. No need to watch this stupid debate. My vote is already cast. Hashtag never Hillary. Hashtag never Trump. At SMOD 2016. And he's got a shirt that says, and it's got like all the candidates, and it's checked. The one that's checked is extinction level asteroid impact.
I think that Sweet Meteor of Death and Cthulhu should run together, because Cthulhu tweeted, Hillary, I'm not really for war. Trump, I'm not really for war. Cthulhu said, let's just conquer the whole world.
I will eliminate 100% of the U.S. national debt, and he's the only candidate who can. Sweet Meteor of Death.
The solution? Oh no, Cthulhu has the solution to equality. I like his stance better than Trump's or Hillary's. It's very simple. Eat humans regardless of skin color. Eat humans regardless of sexual orientation. Eat them regardless of age, ethnicity, or country of origin. Just eat all of them. There you go. And he's got his hands up like, what's the deal? And this is obvious answer.
Hillary, we'll start a Mid-Eastern war. Trump, we'll start a nuclear war. Johnson, we'll start listening to War by Bob Marley. Esmod, we'll end all wars.
Cthulhu. Trump won't show tax returns. Hillary won't show her secret email, but Cthulhu will show what an apocalypse actually looks like.
I have invented the fossilized skeleton of a T-Rex to sit in the front row of the debates as a reminder of how this election season will end.
That's my favorite so far. Cthulhu said, while the five-year-olds bicker about economics, here's my plan. Reduce Wall Street to rubble. Render all trade agreements to the void. Revitalize America's infrastructure with non-Euclidean architecture. Create 125.5 million full-time job vacancies. We'll set a tax rate of 0% of income on all humans consumed.
Sweet Meteor of Death asked, says, when asked would she would go undergo neurological tests, Ms. Clinton tells reporter, no need. My brain is perfectly Stapler Broccoli Pencil Frog.
That's great.
Skittles. Taste the rainbow of global mass extinction.
Oh, that's perfect. The economy, Cthulhu says, the economy won't be fixed with a long string of keywords. Direct action in culling humanity will make jobs available for all.
If I had a bowl of Skittles and then removed all but the two most disgusting Skittles and told you to choose one of the disgusting Skittles to be president, which one would you choose? That's right. You choose the asteroid apocalypse.
It's sad that they make more sense than the actual candidates, isn't it? I guess a couple of weeks ago, Stephen King, the writer, said that Donald Trump was actually Cthulhu, and the absurd hairdo isn't absurd at all. It actually hides the tentacles, and Cthulhu was offended by this and released a statement. It comes as no surprise that the election reaches maximum overdrive, that rank partisans seeking the upper hand would think invoking my name is a needful thing. But their misery and desperation will secure no joyland from my campaign. You will not find me giving pneumonia to small children or being an impulsive fire starter. Those are for the lesser evils to which I would never be compared. It is end of watch for mankind. It is our aim to bury them in the dead zone. I love it.
And Sweet Meteor Death, more from him. Just because you won't invite me doesn't mean you can't exclude me from the debates. Hashtag debate crashers.
He'd be physically removed.
He will not be physically removed from the debate, unlike Jill Stein. By the way, I want to thank Officer Hoppe for physically removing a communist and a Democrat. Both companies and a Democrat from the debate platform. So thank you.
Thank you for your service.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, that was
doomed,
fun.
Aren't we? Yeah, yes. That was fun.
Hashtag Sweet Meteor of Death for President 2016.
Cthulhu for America. Yep. It's got my vote.
Better vote harder, because that's what's going to happen afterwards.
I'll take it.